at an some sources here, and think a little bit together, okay, about something that has like always bothered me a little bit in the Haggadah, and I want to share with you a bunch of ideas, and some of which come from Rabbi David Silber's Haggadah called "Go Forth and Learn," Tzei Ulamad. So I recommend it; very nice Haggadah. And in it, he shares like some of the ideas that I'm going to share. A lot of them are from him. Okay, so first of all, it says you see on the top of the page, it says something from the Haggadah. Vayitnu aleinu avodah kasha, k'ma she'ne'emar, vayavidu mitzrayim et b'nei Yisrael b'farach. Right. So they placed upon us hard work, as it says that Mitzrayim worked us b'farach. Okay. So does anyone else share my issue with this line? Like, does this bother you at all? Or you're like, okay, that's cool, no problem. Which part of the Haggadah is this even in, by the way? Which section is it? Right, it's in Magid, okay, right? And it's part of the part of Magid, okay, where we are darshaning the psukim, right? We're like, we're taking a bunch of psukim and we're paralleling them with other psukim. Right? Okay? Like, so you know, I'll read you some other ones, okay? Just so we have the flavor. Okay, this is that part of the Haggadah, okay, where we say, this is the part of the Haggadah where we say, Biar Chazaka, Zo Hadever, right? And Hiketi Kol Bechor Beretz Mitzrayim, Ani Velo Saraf, or Vayaret Onyenu, Ze Prishut Erech Eretz, Ve'et Amalenu, Elu Habanim, Ve'et Lachatzenu, Zo Adachak, right? Like all these, like, here's a pasuk and here's what it means, okay? So when it says, when it says, like, let's say, that Et Onyenu, Et Amalenu, Ve'et Lachatzenu, right? It's trying to explain our suffering, our work, and our pressure, right? Okay? So the Haggadah is trying to explain what do those things mean, okay? And they say, and it says that, our Onyenu is Prishut Derech Eretz, and Amalenu is the children, okay? That we're throwing our children into the river, okay? So in each of those cases, it's taking a pasuk and explaining what it means. What's a little bit funny about this one? Yeah, it doesn't really explain anything. It's just kind of like matching it up. You know what I'm saying? Like it's Vayitnu aleinu avodah kasha. They gave us hard work. As it says, they gave us hard work. So it's like, okay, anyone here say korbanot in the morning? Okay, so there was a time in my life where I said korbanot in the morning. And there's a part in korbanot where it says how do we know that you're not allowed to bring se'or and dvash on the mizbeach? And it continues and says, because Shenemar, Kichol Sor Kakatuv, Kichol Sor Vachol Devash Lotatirim Meni Rishela Hashem, which is just a pasuk in the Torah that just says that. You know what I mean? So it's like, if I were to say, how do we know that God created the heavens and the earth? You'd say, well, because it says, Breshit Bara Lekim Shemayim Ataretz, right? So we happen not to be as familiar with the pasukim about the Korbanot, right? But I sort of have this, like, feeling when I read this, I actually was in a shir when I was at Lindenbaum with Harav Medan, who's now the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Har Etzion, and he used this as an example of like when someone says something like and gives an obvious answer like that, and I was like, oh, you also feel that way? I was like, goals, So I sort of feel like that here, like they gave us hard work, as it says they gave us hard work, like what is that really adding, okay? Now, just to be more clear, this part of the Haggadah, like which psukim are they matching up together? Like which are the psukim at the beginning and which are the psukim that they're quoting as like the explanations or the proofs? Okay, so what's going on is this is the part of the Haggadah where, remember it says in the Mishnayot that you doresh arami avir avi ad sheigmor kol haparasha kula, right? That we take this section called arami avir avi and we darshan it, okay? We explain it until you finish the whole parasha, okay? So if you look at the second source on your page, Devarim Perek Kavav, okay, let's read that, okay? Vanita v'amarta. Someone want to read it for us? Anyone open to reading it? אפשר במבטא ישראלי, ספרדי, אמריקאי. Someone? Yeah, Rekia, go for it.
From the Anita.
Yeah, Vanita. Vanita.
ונצעק על השם אלוקי אבותינו, וישמע השם את קולנו, וירא את עונינו ואת אמרינו ואת לחצינו. והוציאנו השם ממצרים ביד חזקה ובזרוע נטויה ובמורא גדול ובאותות ומופתים. ויביאנו על המקום הזה, וייתן לנו את הארץ הזאת, ארץ זבת חלב ודבש. ועתה הנה הבאת את ראשית פרי האדמה אשר נתת לי השם, והנחת לפני השם אלוקיך, וישלח לבית לפני השם אלוקיך. ושמחת בכל הטוב אשר נתן לך השם אלוקיך לבית.
Okay, great. So this, what Yakira just read, is the passage that we say when, besides in the Haggadah. What's the context here?
When you're bringing Bikurim.
Okay, when you're bringing the Bikurim. When you are the farmer, and you are bringing your first fruits to the Beit HaMikdash, okay, this is called Mikra Bikurim. Okay, so when do we start bringing Bikurim? Like what point in the year? Shavuot, okay, and Shavuot is Yom HaBikurim, okay, it's the day that we begin bringing the Bikurim. You can bring Bikurim all the way until Sukkot, along with saying Arami Avedavi, and you have till Hanukkah, but between Sukkot and Hanukkah, you don't get to say Arami Avedavi, okay, so like the proper time is between Shavuot and Sukkot. Okay, you have a nice long time. Okay, Bezrat Hashem b'mher b'yameinu, we'll be able to do that again. Okay, anyway, so this is what the farmer says when he goes or she goes to the Beit HaMikdash and brings the first fruits. And we go through, it's like really interesting, we go through this little like synopsis of Jewish history, right? Arami Aved Avi. Even how do you explain that is interesting? How do you explain Arami Aved Avi? What does that mean? Okay, good, right? And Arami Lavan tried to kill Oved, like was destroying my father, like Lashmid La Rogula Abed, like in Purim, right? Yeah. Okay, so, or another possibility.
My father was wandering around.
Exactly, straight as a Beferisha Maxwell House Haggadah quote, right? Okay, right? My father was a wandering Aramea, right? Okay, so the other possibility is that the Arami is actually my father, right, who was wandering and getting, you know, going down to Mitzrayim, etc. Okay? Anyway, but in any case, we went down to Mitzrayim, we lived there in small numbers, we became great, the Mitzrayim were mean to us, they were, they oppressed us, they gave us hard work, we cried out to Hashem, He heard us, He saw us, He took us out of Mitzrayim, right, He brought in with a lot of wonders, He brought us to this place, gave us this wonderful land, and now I've brought you my first fruits, and you put it in front of Hashem, you bow down to Hashem, and you're very happy with all the good that God has given you, you and the Levi and the Ger who lives amongst you, okay? So this is like this cute little synopsis, okay, of the whole story of, you know, going down to Mitzrayim and coming out of Mitzrayim and coming into Eretz Yisrael. And that is like the prime text of the Haggadah that we spread out, right, a lot, okay, by, you know, darshaning each word in there, number one, and also, you know, in most seders, adding a lot of Divrei Torah and, you know, things for the children and whatever, right? Okay, so those are, Vayitnu Aleinu Avodah Kasha is the pasuk in Arami Aved Avi that is, that is being expounded upon. Okay, now where are we bringing a proof text from? By what? From this, exactly, from this, right, from the, via, where,
the original story.
The original story, right? Meaning the Arami Aved Avi is the retell, right? That's like the synopsis. And we're going back to the original story and we're saying, oh, like, where do we see that in the original story? Okay, what is this very tiny version? So what is this referring to in the original story? Okay? And so the original story is right here above Avodat Parech. Okay? And it has there the idea that that a new king came on Mitzrayim who didn't know Yosef, right? And he decides to kind of make a plan against them, against us. And then in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ve'asimu alav sarei misim l'man ano to b'siv lotam. He puts sarei misim. What are sarei misim? What's mas? Good, right. So tax, mas is tax. And we actually, like, we're familiar with it in modern Hebrew, like taxes, you know, paying taxes, okay? Happens to be that mas in the Tanakh was usually, what kind of tax? Anyone know? What? Can you?
Crevé labor.
Exactly. It was labor, right? It was actually people who came and worked. Okay, meaning you had to donate some of your people to work for the king, right? And it was like, it's referred to, in all different. And by the way, when Achashverosh puts a mas on the Aretz V'iye Hayam, right? That at the end of the Megillah, that was probably, not just money. Like, it was probably people that had to come and serve in Achashverosh's court, right? Okay, so Sarei Misim are the officers who are making sure that the people that they've drafted to work for them, right, are actually doing their work. So it's actually funny because, like, we actually view taxation as, like, okay, right? Meaning, whatever, as long as there's representation, et cetera, but we view taxation as, like, something that has to be done, right? And it did also have to be done in the ancient world. And it was often, donating your time and labor, not just your money. But obviously, in this context, this is a bad kind, right? This is crossing a certain line, right? Sarei misim laman anoto b'siv latam, to oppress them with their suffering. Even and we build these houses, these cities for Paro, Pitom and Ramses. But nevertheless, Kasher Yanoto Ken Yerbevach and Yifrotz, right? But it didn't work for the Mitzrim. The Mitzrim were worried that we were too big, too many, and it turns out that we just kept on growing despite all of their best efforts. And then Pasuk Gimel Vayavidu Mitzrayim et Bnei Yisrael Befarech. So then they started working as Befarech. Vayimaru et Chayehem Ba'avodah Kasha B'Chomer Vilveni B'Vachol Avodah B'Sadeh. Et Chol V'Dadam Asher Avdu B'Hem Befarech. And they embittered their lives by making them work very hard, right, with all of the different things that they had to do. Okay, and it was Befarech. So before we go on to try to explain what Parech is, I just want to take a step back. Okay, the Mitzrayim were doing something wrong here. Would you say? How do we feel about what the Mitzrim did? Or not?
I feel like compared to the society at the time, they probably didn't think they were doing anything wrong.
Okay. Okay, interesting. So meaning maybe the Mitzrim didn't feel like they were doing anything wrong. Okay.
Yeah, but that makes it okay because most people don't think they're doing something wrong when they're doing it.
Right, exactly. Most of us don't think we're doing something wrong when we're doing something wrong. We have a very, very well-developed sense of how to justify what we're doing, right? Okay. If you look at the words, it doesn't, like, you're not giving the Mitzrim the Midos Award, are you, right? In this, they're oppressing us, you're making it very hard. They made us, they were nitchak malo, they were being wiser than us and smarter and outsmarting, right? And they were, oppressing us, okay? And it sounds like they were doing something bad, right? Yes.
It kind of seems like they're intentionally being bad. It's not that. If it yes. was just the Sarei Misim, you
right.
justify that. That's what everyone
Excellent.
At the time is doing.
Correct.
This is, the Sarei Misim isn't working. We have
yeah.
to be better. We're going to oppress them and intentionally oppress them to the extent that we can. Not just like
exactly.
what would be allowed for the time. Like, we're going to take it one step further.
Excellent, right? Okay, that's certainly what it sounds like. It sounds like they're, whatever this is, Parach, which we're going to see a bunch of explanations, right, in a second, it sounds like it's really bad, and they embittered our lives, like it was terrible, It sounds like something, and obviously, also, you can tell that they did something bad, because what happens to them? They're punished very severely, right? Meaning Hashem gives them all these makot, and then, ultimately kills them, right? So, so you kind of get the sense that they had done something wrong from that, right?
Yeah. One can always find other explanations for why Hashem brought them a court and not necessarily as punishment.
You're saying meaning like just to let us go. Maybe they weren't doing anything wrong, but they, they wouldn't let us go. So he brought Makkah after Makkah to get us to... How else would you understand
that? Then you would have to be looking for
Yeah.
I don't know, and then accusing the whole people and not just the one who did it wrong, and then I'm just saying it wouldn't be the only reason.
Could be, right? Meaning you're saying it's. I think we'd have to think of another reason, though, right? Meaning like you'd have to think of why Mitzrayim deserved all of those terrible things to happen to them. Like, why should every firstborn son die in that nation?
But that Dafka, you could say that was. Maybe not, but was it not planned before? Meaning...
Okay. Anyway, so I think you have to say something about why Hashem did it. Either it was a punishment, or it was, you know, to get them to let us go, or I don't know, something. I mean, that's what it sounds like, certainly in the process of the Makot. I actually think if you want to get into that, I mean, we're not going to talk, that's not what this is about, but like, if you just take the first Makat Dam, like, I think it's super symbolic, you know. Why does their Yor turn to blood? Whose blood is that? All the babies they drown day after day in their river, you know. So like their blood, you know, the river turns to blood. Like I think it's totally, that's an example I think of Midah Keneged Midah, you know, in that case. But that's for another discussion. It sounds bad. But let's go back now to the first source on your page, which is Breishit Perek Tet Vav. Okay, and this is in the Brit Beina Betarim, okay, where that Hashem makes with Avram Avinu. So someone wanna read it for us? Breishit Perek Tet Vav, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Someone open to reading? Go ahead, Marina. Okay. Okay. So Hashem says to Avram, I want you to know that your children are going to, your descendants are going to be strangers in a land that's not theirs. And they will make them work, and they will oppress them for 400 years. And then I will judge the nation that they serve, okay? And then they're going to go out with a lot of stuff. So there's something like a little bit funny here, right? Okay? Because obviously the Torah in Sefer Shemot presents it as though like the Mitzrim came up with this idea, and they did, right? Meaning the Mitzrim came up with this idea, and they really oppressed us, and they were terrible, and now we have to, like Hashem is going to, you know, look, and then Hashem is going to take us out, okay, and he, you know, brings terrible makot on them, okay? It's just really interesting that seems like that was part of the plan the whole time. Like Hashem told Avram that your children will be strangers, they will be slaves, and there's also another word in there, vi'inuotam. What is vi'inuotam? They'll oppress them, just like we had vaya'anunu, right? Laman anotobasi v'latam. Like, we were meant to be oppressed. So that's, like, really interesting that we're meant to be oppressed. And I'm actually not bringing up right now the question of how could Paro be punished for something that he was destined to do, which is a really interesting question. But I'm not even talking about that. I'm just saying, even in terms of, like, how we view, like, how are we meant to understand this? It sounds, the whole description sounds like, oh, this is terrible, they did something terrible to us, but like, that's okay, Hashem saved us. But it's just funny when that was actually the plan from the beginning, and it was stated 400 years ago that that's what's going to happen, you know. So something very interesting about that. Why is that, you know, why was it important? Like, why is it part of our national... Is it a punishment for something that we needed to be oppressed? So we needed to get kapara for something? Like, what... Why indeed does Hashem say to Avram Avinu that your children are going to be oppressed for 400 years and then they're going to come back with a lot of stuff? Why was that part of the plan? Like, if you think about it, couldn't Hashem have just let Avram stay in Eretz Yisrael? You know, Avram would be in Eretz Yisrael, Yitzchak would be born, Yaakov would be born, all the kids would be born. We'd have the 12 Shvatim. They would be fruitful and multiply in that land, divided up, Niala, right? Okay? Now, the Torah does say... Also in Breishit, that, what else does it say? What else do we know that, why is it not possible right now to give us the land? It's actually interesting. What? Kilo shalem avon emori adata. Did you also do the chidon at the moment? Okay. So because it says Kilo Shalem Vadarya Vi Yashuvuhena, Kilo Shalem Avana Maria Data, right? That the fourth generation will come back because the Emori, which is the nation that's living in Canaan right now, is they haven't like finished sinning, you know, like their sin has not gotten big enough that it's like justified to kick them out. So like you guys can't have the land yet. Okay? So that could explain. Which part could that explain, though?
That
that they'll leave and be a stranger in another land.
Right.
But not that they would be oppressed.
Exactly, right? Meaning the fact that the Amori is not ready to, the Hashem's not ready to take the land away from the Amori yet, because like in terms of Scharva Onesh, they're not ready for their own, you know, like it's not the time yet to give them, to take it away from them. They don't deserve that yet. Okay. But why did we deserve to be slaves and suffer? Like what did we do to deserve that? So that's an interesting question. Other thoughts before we go on?
The yeah. basis of our moral code. Every time that we talk, okay. and whether or not Excellent. You think that the ancient Israelites were in a different class of morality than the
okay.
other people, I don't really know.
Okay.
But it's the base, every time that you're supposed to treat someone well, you're supposed to
Excellent.
Talk to some other type of person and treat them with a certain way, it's because you are a ger and mitzrayim, and every day you're supposed to remember that. And part of the, not just Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, our entire relationship with God is based off the fact that he took us out of Mitzrayim.
Okay, very interesting. So the first part is like, I mean, the second thing that you said is like Hashem wants to create a relationship with us, right? So he's going to make us be in Mitzrayim, then he'll take us out, and then, you know, and then we'll have this relationship with him. That piece is like very interesting because it's like, I'm going to tie you up. I'll go away, and then I'll come and rescue you, you know, right?
That's yeah. what I was saying before, yeah. where, because there is the dichotomy between what,
yeah.
do we have free will versus God's
intention, right.
and it kind of seems like the Mitzrayim are taking it beyond what is normal.
Excellent,
so if you're
right.
say, okay, you're going to be a stranger, it's always hard for a stranger
right.
to be in a strange
right.
land,
right.
that would be okay, and then we would still have that same, like, reliance on God and connection
Correct.
With God because he
right.
took us out of that and gave us our own land.
Okay.
But then
nice.
They took it one step forward and said, no, we're really going to torture you.
Okay. Beautiful. So, right. And then going back to the first thing you said, that it's the basis of so many, we always go back to it. So I'm going to come back to your point in a little bit. I think that that's really key. First, I want to take us on a little bit of another journey, okay, through understanding what Avodat Parech is, okay, and then talking about other building projects that are described in the Torah and in the Tanakh. So, if you look at what Avodat Parech is, so what is Avodat Parech? Okay, so let's look at Rashi. What does Rashi say? What is Avodat Parech? What does it mean that they worked us befarech? So how does Rashi understand it? But Avodat Kasha haMefarechet et haGuf uMeshavratzo. What is Meferechet? It breaks your body. Okay, it's just back-breaking work. It's so hard. It just breaks you. Okay, so it's a type of work, like you know, I don't know, carrying super heavy things, or I don't know, whatever it might be. That's what Rashi says. The Malbim says something slightly different. He says, "Vayavidu va'az kavshum la'avadim la'avuch bam bitmidut shelo levach heavidum letzarcham." So they made us into slaves. They made them into slaves for, like, constantly. That it wasn't just that they worked them for their needs. Rak hayav dat parach avoda b'li menucha u'b'li tzorach. Rak lefarech et gufam. What is the Malbim saying?
Work that wasn't even necessary. Just making them work so that they would always be working.
Exactly.
Not necessarily for a purpose.
Right. So that they would always be working and not necessarily for a purpose, but rak lefarech et gufam, meaning it wasn't that the work was that hard necessarily. It was just constant. So like, you know, walking up steps is not like so hard, right? But if you're just walking up steps all day long and never stopping, then that's really, that just breaks you, right? Okay, as opposed to maybe picking up something super, super heavy once, that would be Rashi's way of parach. Okay, so there. That's the second way. Okay, it has a different explanation, which you may be familiar with from the Midrash. This is like what we learned in like elementary school, at least what I did. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yishmael Bar Nachmani Amar Yonatan Shayu Machlifim Melechet Anashim LeNashim Umelechet Nashim LeAnashim. Did you ever hear this one? That they switched the men's and the women's work. Okay, so what's that about? Why switch the men's and the women's work? What's the point of that?
Making you do something that you're not necessarily capable of doing.
Okay. So number one is giving you something that you don't that you're not capable of, okay, or you're not competent in. So if, you know, I don't know, in the case, you know, there could be things that men are good at that women are not good at, or that women are good at that men are not good at, right? Or haven't been trained to do, don't know how to do. So it's like just like it's ridiculous, right? What is the result of that? Why would you give someone work that they're not capable of?
Emotionally traumatic.
Excellent, right? This seems like a psychological or an emotional approach, right? That you feel ridiculous, you feel humiliated, you feel embarrassed, either because you're doing work that is beneath you, let's just say, or work that you're not capable of, right? So you just feel bad. And also, there's no purpose to that, right? Like if I'm giving you something to do, but you can't do it, right? So then that's not an efficient use of labor, right? That's clearly to break you, right? To break the person psychologically. Okay, so that is, so we have like one, you know, we have one explanation that is that it's the type of work that breaks the goof. The Malbim says it's so constant that it breaks the goof, right? But it has no purpose. And the Gemara in Sota takes it even further in that it is, it's like a work that's inappropriate for you, okay? And that might be embarrassing. The Rambam, in telling you about not working your own slaves, b'farech, okay, defines what is avodat parech. Ve'ezu hi avodat parech. Zo avoda she'ein la kitzva. Va'avoda she'einu tzarich la, ela tia machshavto lahavido bilvad shelo yivatel. Okay, what is the Rambam saying here?
Similar to the Malbim.
Right, similar to the Malbim, although with a different goal.
So okay.
So that there's no end in sight, okay? It might not actually break you, meaning it's not that, like, the way the Malbim says it, it's avodah b'li minucha b'li tzorech rak lefarech et gufam, to break you, like you're just going to just drop because you're just so tired, right? The Rambam, it sounds more like a psychological thing, right? Like you will never know. How do you see it? He says, Mikan amru chachamim shelo yomar lo, ador tachad gfanim ad she'avo, sharei lo natan lo kitzva. Don't say, dig under these grapevines until I come back. Because you didn't tell him when. El yomar lo, ador ad she'aplonit, o ad makom ploni. Get to this point in the grapevine, in the vineyard, or until this hour. What is that doing? What's the difference between those two kinds of work?
Let them see that there is an actual end or purpose.
Right, exactly. Like there's something about, I don't know, if you're somewhere and you just don't, like you've no idea when it's going to end, like you just have no, you feel like you can't take it more than if you know, like, okay, this has an end. It might be long, it might be hard, it might be whatever, but there's like an ofek, you know, there's just, it's, so that feeling of, like, my time is just so not my own that I will never, like, I have no idea when I'm going to stop. That uncertainty, right, is part of avodat parech. Okay? And he also says, and he also adds, you know, don't do things that you don't need, okay? Like he says, don't say chafor makom zev v'eino tzarich lo, v'afilo lachem l'kol shalchamim v'lehatzein v'ein tzarich lo. Don't say warm up a cup of water for me when you don't need it. Okay, because that's also like my life is meaningless. Like I'm just doing things that, you know. Now this is, I would like to distinguish this from like a lot of the work that we all do that sometimes feels like this, okay? Which is like, you know, you do the laundry and then like, I don't know, somehow all the clothes got dirty again. You know what I'm saying? You fed the family and they're hungry again a few hours later. Like, so sometimes you do feel like, oh my gosh, like I'm just on this like, wheel, you know, but of course that's not the same, you know, that's like you're building, you're doing something, you're keeping people going, and that's very positive, okay? And what we're talking about here is when it's mamash, you're just moving things from one side of the room to the other just to move it back for no reason. Okay, so avodat parech is a combination of physically very challenging labor and emotionally or psychologically challenging. Let's have a look at a different building project, okay, which takes place in the Midbar after we left Egypt, okay? So I'm, of course, referring to the Mishkan that we built in the desert, right? So it says at the bottom of page 1, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe l'emor, Deber al b'nei Yisrael v'yikchu li truma, me'et kol ish asher yidvenu libo, tikchu et trumati. And then, after a bunch of psukim, v'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'tochan. Okay? So Am Yisrael is being asked to donate things from whatever somebody wants to give. You should take my truma. And then in Shemot Perek Lamed Hei, in Shemot Perek Lamed Vav, okay, we are actually hearing about the actual building of the Mishkan, okay? And this is like, you know, towards the end. let's just have a look at the different words that you notice and tell me which words are repeated a lot of times. Someone want to read the first passage on page 2? Anyone feel like reading for us? Open to reading for us? Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Marina. Thank you.
ואומר משה בני ישראל, ראו קרא שם שם בצלאל בנורי בן פור לנתי יהודה, וימלא אותו רוח אלוקים בחוכמה, בתבונה ובדעת, ובכל מלאכה. ולחשוב מחשבות, לעשות בזהב ובכסף, ובכסף ובנחושת. ובחרושת אבן למלאות, ובחרושת עץ לעשות בכל מלאכת מחשב. ולהורות נתן בליבו, הוא ואוליאב בן אחי סמך, כנגדם. מילא אותם חוכמת לב לעשות כל מלאכת חרש, חרש וחושב ורוקם בתכלת, באדמן, בגרעת, השני ובשש ואורג עושה כל מלאכה וחושבי מחשבות.
Okay. Which words do you notice here that keep on repeating themselves? Machshevet. Okay. Great. Okay. That's lachshov, machshavot, melechet machshevet, choshve machshavot at the end. And what's the word that's used for working here? Melecha. As opposed to?
Avodah.
Okay. What's the difference between melecha and avodah?
Creative versus, okay.
Okay, interesting, right? Meaning, I just thought of this right now. Someone who does avodah is called an eved, right? Like the noun would be an eved. Melacha, malach. I never thought about that till this minute, but that's like really interesting. What's a malach? A malach, I'm not just talking about angels, but they're angels, but what's a malach? What would we call a malach? What? A messenger, right? Someone who has, what?
Mission.
Right, someone who has a mission, someone who has a goal, someone who's doing melacha, right, is a malach. Someone who's doing avodah is an eved, right? So those are very, very different words. Okay, so let's go on. Let's look in Shmot Perek Lamed Vav. Let's listen again. What else? What other words do we hear? Vasa b'tzalel v'aliyah v'chol ish chacham lev asher natan Hashem chokhma utvuna bahem al da'at lasot et kol melechet avodat hakodesh v'chol asher tivah Hashem. Vayikra Moshe el b'tzalel v'el aliyah v'el kol ish chacham lev asher natan Hashem chokhma b'libo v'chol asher nisa'o libo l'karva el ha'melacha lasot ota. Anything you notice over here? Even just stop here for a second. Which word comes up a lot? Chokhmah, also. And you had it also before. Chokhmah, tvuna, da'at, right? Keeping on going. They go, they take all the truma, the kol melechet, it does say avodat ha-kodesh, right? La'asot ota, v'hem eviu elav od nedava b'boker b'boker. They're getting more donations. V'yavo kol ha-chachamim ha-osim et kol melechet ha-kodesh, ish ish mi melechto asher hem ha-osim. Again, chokhmah, melecha, melecha. V'yomer el Moshe le'mor marbim ha'am l'havi midei ha-avoda l'mlecha asher tziva Hashem l'asot ota. V'yitzav Moshe v'yaviru kol b'machane le'mor ish v'isha al yasu od melecha l'tshumat ha-kodesh v'yikale So again, it's like I'm tripping over my tongue just saying the word melacha so many times, right? Also, this is, of course, we always mention, this is the only tzedakah campaign that was ever stopped because too many people were bringing, right? I've never heard of that ever happening again in Jewish history, that people were bringing too much stuff for the Mishkan, and Moshe's like, enough, enough, right? Okay? So we see these words chokhmah, melacha, right, as opposed to avodah. Now, Am Yisrael were building Pitom and Ramses, and they were building the Mishkan, okay? So they were doing similar things, okay? But the feeling is entirely different. What other work in the Torah is called melacha?
On Shabbat.
On Shabbat, we don't do melacha, okay? We're going to come back to that in a second. And what else? So, I'll read you. Okay, great. Excellent. I think this is all playing off of the very first time melacha is used, which is, V'yichulu ha-shamayim v'ha-aretz v'chol tzeva'am. V'yichal elokim b'yom ha-shvi'i. מלאכתו אשר עשה. וישבת ביום השביעי מכל מלאכתו אשר עשה. אוקיי? ויברך אלוקים את יום השביעי ויקדש אותו, כי בו שבת מכל מלאכתו אשר ברא אלוקים לעשות. So, several times, just in those short psukim, right, we're hearing about melacha. So the work that Hashem did to create the world was melacha. And Yakira said it before, creative, right? Creative kind of work. And the people in building the Mishkan were doing this creative work, positive work. What else? What else, though, is true? What else differentiates between the Mishkan, let's say, and Pito and Ramses? It's like obvious, but let's just say it, right?
The personal will,
right? We have constant the statement of Yidvenu Libo, right? It mentions several times, right? Whoever wanted to. And also, they were Choshvei Machashavot, right? What happens when you have to do something and you're told you have to do it and you just, right? So what do? You're forced to do something. It takes away some of the satisfaction, right? And also, like, you just do it. I don't know, right? Actually, so maybe an interesting pshat in Arei Miskinot. The Gemara says, in Sota, says that Arei Miskinot means that the Arim would crumble, like they would sink into the ground. It was like on quicksand, kind of, or that they would crumble to the ground and they would keep on having to be built up. So, I mean, that midrash is, you know, again, trying to express how, like, even what they built, like, didn't even stay, and it was so terrible for them, and that whole parach thing, right? But it's actually interesting, like, if you're forced to build something, so you'll build it however you build it, I don't know, what's the difference? You weren't building it for any reason anyway, right? When you're asked if you want to build something, so you start thinking, oh, like, how could I do this well? How could I, right? You start to be choshev machshavot, and you want to do it v'chacham lev and tvuna and dat and all these very positive words that put from yourself into it, right? Okay, so that's what's going on in the Mishkan. That's not what went on in the story of Mitzrayim. Coming back to what we mentioned before, which was Shabbat. So the Torah in Shemot Perek Lamed Aleph, right at the beginning of Parshat Vayakhel, which is about to teach us, Vayakhel and Pkudei is all about the building of the Mishkan, meaning Shemot Lamed Hei and Lamed Vav, we read first. But this comes before that, right, Lamed Aleph. Hashem says to Moshe, tell Am Yisrael, Achad Shabtutai Tishmaru, Ki Oti Beni Veinichem L'Dorotechem, So why is Shabbat mentioned right near the Mishkan? So what do we usually say? Exactly, right? The 39 melachot that we're not allowed to do in Shabbat come from the Mishkan, okay? What maybe also this is trying to say, right, is that Shabbat is that like the melacha is this creative, positive work that we're going to feel, you know, content with and excited about and good about, right? And nevertheless, we need to rest from it. We're going to rest from it on Shabbat, just like Hashem rested from his melacha, which was positive and creative and good, right? Okay, and we even get to rest from it. As opposed to avodah and avodat parech, which, as we saw, is the kind of avodah you never get any rest from, right? Okay, so it's the malacha and the Shabbat go together, and that's perfect, you know, balance. Maybe also the Shabbat is what allows you to view the work as malacha, right? Meaning, if part of avodat parech is not ever getting a rest, so getting a rest is part of maybe what allows you to reflect on your work, to think about it, to enjoy it, to appreciate it, right? And, you know, obviously it's all the other things too, that it's nediv libo v'chula. Yeah.
But it also kind of, like, because they're only mentioning melacha, it sounds like avodah would be allowed on Shabbat.
Okay, I hear you.
Kind of takes away from...
That's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, in the, like, about, what did you say? Do you want to say something? Avodah, right, avodah in the Beit HaMikdash, right, that's true. I thought you were going to say that it says about Yom Tov, that kol melachat avodah, right, melachat avodah, right, as opposed to kol melacha, nachon? So it's a good question, meaning does this imply that maybe avodah is allowed? I don't think so, meaning I think it's more like avodah and melacha are two ways of describing work, just that one is this much more negative way of describing it, and one is a more positive way. But, you know, melacha, meaning melacha slash avodah, is not allowed on Shabbat. But it's a good question. It'd be interesting to look. I want to show you also just another couple things, and that is, if you look in Divrei Hayamim, in the description of the building of the first Beit HaMikdash, okay? In the Divrei Hayamim, it describes how David HaMelech gathered every right. Who built the first Beit HaMikdash? Shlomo, right? Who wanted to build it? David, right? David wasn't allowed to, okay? But David basically got everything together for this building project, okay? It's described in Divrei Hayamim like Adasof, how he gathered this and he gathered that and all the measurements and all of this and all, it's like unbelievable, right? He really got it all ready and he kind of left Shlomo with all the stuff and all the instructions and Shlomo did it, okay? So in the description, tell me if you notice any words that are familiar, okay? So like in Pasuk Aleph, David, Vayomer David, HaMelech HaKol HaKahal, Shlomo B'ni Echad, B'char Bo Elokim, Na'ar V'Rach V'HaMelecha G'dola, Ki Lo La'Adam HaBira, Ki LaHashem Elokim. Okay, the melacha is big. And then it describes, B'chol kochi achinoti, Levet Elokai, Hazahav, Lazahav, HaKesef, HaKesef, HaNechoshet, HaNechoshet, etc. Right, all the different things. V'od in Pasugimel, Birtzoti Bevet Elokai, Yeshli Segula Zahav HaKesef, Mikol HaChinoti Lebet HaKodesh, Pasuk Vav, Vayit Nadvu Sarei HaAvot, V'Sarei Shivtei Yisrael, V'Sarei Elefim, V'Hameot L'Sarei Melechet HaMelech. Vayitnu la'avodat beit ha'elokim, zahav ki karim v'chameshet alafim, etc., etc. Pasuk tet, vayismechu ha'am al hitnadvam, ki belev shalem hitnadvu la'Hashem, v'gan David ha'melech samach simcha gedola. Okay, so which words here do we see are similar to the words we saw about the Mishkan? Milacha. And lihitnadev, right? This feeling of simcha, and also, of course, the simcha, we didn't see that in the description of the work for the Mishkan, but we saw it when the people, recent Parsha, right, they are like, Vayaronu, they're singing, they're like, you know, falling on their faces, they're so happy, right, from the fact that the Shekhinah is coming into the Beit HaMikdash. So you definitely have this feeling that this project is a very, very positive one. Rabbi Silber actually points out, and it's very interesting, that if you look at the, and I didn't bring it on your page, but if you look at it on your, in Lachem Aleph Perek Tet, which is where the description of the Beit HaMikdash, okay, that part of the description of the Beit HaMikdash, okay, well, it's actually after the Chanukah of the Beit HaMikdash, it talks about, after Shlomo builds it, so it says, it describes, just listen to the psukim, Vayishlach Hiram lemelech me'av esrim kikar zahav. So Hiram, the king of Tzor, sends the king 120 talents of silver. V'zeh dvar hamas asher halah melech Shlomo livnot et beit Hashem ve'et beito ve'et hamilo ve'et chumat Yerushalayim. Paro melech Mitzrayim alah v'yilkod et gezer v'yisrfa ba'esh. Okay, and he gives his, and he gives this city to Shlomo. And Shlomo builds these cities, okay? Ve'et kol areha miskenot, asher hayu Shlomo, ve'et areha recha, ve'et areha parashim, ve'et cheshek Shlomo asher chashak livnot b'Yerushalayim, ba'alvanon, uv'chol eretz mamshalto. Kol ha'am hanotar, okay, he's talking about the emori that he is, right, okay, that he's taking from. Anyway, did you hear some of the words in there? Like, I know I read it fast, but there were some interesting words in there. He mentions the word mas, right? Arei miskinot, which is totally a reference to, you know, Paro, and it's a really, now it's talking about like these other nations that you know that Paro is you know is having help him build. Shlomo, not Paro. Paro was mentioned here, but you're right, as his father-in-law. Sorry, that Shlomo's having him build. And it's like a little bit of a discord, okay, where you're like, wait a second, why are we talking about that now? Remember what happens when Shlomo dies, right? His son Rechavam, what do they come and tell him? What did the people come and tell him? It's too much. Your father worked us too hard, right? Give us a break. What does Kenim say to Rechavam? Listen to what the people said to you, like you should give them a break. What did the kids say? Work them harder, tell them, you know, my my pinky is the thickness of my father's thigh and whatever, and like, you think it was hard then, it's going to be harder now. Rechavim takes the advice of the kids, and ultimately the people leave him, right, and go to Yerevam, and you know, that's the beginning of the split of the nation, right, between to Yehudah and Yisrael. And it's very interesting. It splits over being taxed too much and working too hard. And just right before that, like the, meaning right before the, we hear that Shlomo is using these terms. There are these terms that are being used that are reminiscent of a certain kind of work that we didn't want to go back to, right? So it's very, very interesting, you know, where the, and that's, I think, you know, part of, maybe that's the foreshadow to that point. I want to go back to Arami Avid Avi for a second before we close with a few psukim that Meirav mentioned. If we go back to Arami Avid Avi, okay, Arami Avid Avi, which is on your first side of your page, right? We went down to Mitzrayim. We lived there, b'mtei ma'at. We became a goy gadol. They worked us really hard. Hashem listened to us. He got us out. What's the farmer bringing now?
Bikurim,
right? How did he get the bikurim? He farmed the land and he worked the land. And he might have worked really hard, right? And he has these fruits, right, that were the fruit of his labor, okay, quite literally, nechon. And he's coming, and he's bowing down before Hashem. Rishit priha adam asher natata li Hashem, right? V'samachta b'kol atov asher natan l'cha Hashem elokecha. That's the simcha gedola that comes from melacha, right? The melacha. You're not allowed to do it on Shabbat, right? You're resting from it, okay? You're doing it. You're working on it. You're producing something. And then you're so excited about it, just like we were with the Mishkan, just like we were with the Beit HaMikdash, right? So now, and what does Arami Avid Avi end with, though? The very last words of Arami Avid Avi in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Who should you be happy with? V'samachta b'chol atov asher natan l'cha Hashem elokecha u'leveitecha. Ata v'halevi v'hager asher b'kirbecha. You and the Levi and the stranger. Okay? That stranger that you were when you were in Mitzrayim. Okay, and if you go back to the last, you know, to your second page here, you have the Nefesh Hager, as Meirav mentioned, the Torah says many times, I just brought you twice, the Torah says, you should love the ger, Vayikra Perek Yutet, you should love the ger, Ki Gerim Hayitem Be'eretz Eretz Mitzrayim, in Devarim, Hashem is Ohev Ger, Latet Lelechem V'sim La, V'havtem Et Ager, Ki Gerim Hayitem Be'eretz Mitzrayim. Right? We have to remember the ger and understand the ger because we were gerim in Mitzrayim. And I do think that part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan for us was that we would have as part of our national consciousness forever that experience of being the lonely stranger, the ger, the one who suffered, so that we would be sensitive to the suffering of others. And I want to contrast this to the way things often work, right? Like, I have, you know, son in seventh grade, okay? And I've had kids who've gone through the eighth grade. In the eighth grade, you're the king of the school, okay? Your senior year, you're the king of the school. What do you do to the kids under you? You bully them, right? You oppress them. You know, you make them, whatever you do. And when you're the younger kid, right? So you are suffering that. When you get to be the eighth grader, okay, you torment the other ones, okay, in good tradition. You're an intern, you're a doctor, you're a medical student, and you're an intern. You're overworked, and they don't treat you well, right? And what do you do when you become the attending doctor? Okay, you might overwork your interns, right? Okay, hopefully not, but like that, but you know, now sometimes it's built into the system, and it's not the person's fault, et cetera, right? But that's exactly what the Torah doesn't want, right? What the Torah wants is that we will have had an experience, and instead of repeating that experience, we will say, I'm not going to allow this to happen. Now, the truth is that we, and if you look at the bottom source in Devarim Parakeh, what's the reason we have to keep Shabbat and do all of your work, right? V'yom ha-shvi'i Shabbat l'Hashem Elokecha, lo taseh kol melacha hu, ata, uvincha, uvitecha, va'avtecha, va'amatecha, v'shorcha, v'chamorecha, v'chol b'emtecha, Hashem says that one of the reasons for Shabbos is because I want your your workers and even your animals to rest. This is like that lema'an, so that. Vizachartaki eved ayita be'eretz Mitzrayim. And I want you to remember you were an eved, because I want you to learn to give other people a rest, the rest that you didn't get. And I think that you know, I think that we know what it's like. You know, you guys are all, you know, most of you are in the status of kind of the ger, right, who comes to a land that was not native to you, right? And you may have family here, you may not have family here. You may have an easy time with the language, you may have a hard time with the language. You may have had a little bit of you may be a recent olah, right, or olad. You might be a more vatik one, right? Or maybe your parents made aliyah. And we all know, we really know what it's like to be the ger. And I think that the message of the Torah here is that we should be, you know, we should be paying it forward. We should be trying to help the other people who have this challenge and who have this difficulty, and to try to make their lives, try to make everyone's lives feel like milacha, feel like these positive experience, which is what Hashem wants for us, what Hashem gives us, to contrast it with that experience of the avdut. Okay. Chag Sameach v'kasher to everybody.